the difference between hundreds of Christians who each year take on tasks for the Lord and a few who actually get the task done. I invite you to take your Bibles and go to a very familiar passage, Joshua 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. You follow along as I read. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years, 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And lo, I am this day 65 years old. And yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the days that Moses sent me. Let me just say to you, I like that statement. I like an 85-year-old man. I think he's lying through his teeth. But I like the fact that he thinks that he can still do it. It's just interesting. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest that in that day how the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. If you mark in your Bibles, there's four times where he said he wholly followed the Lord. I had an old-time preacher years ago said that God put the Bible on paper so we could mark it. So it's a good idea. My Bible is, this was an old Bible, and I've got a couple of new ones that I'm trying to break in. I hate breaking in new Bibles. This becomes, I know exactly what page and what markings I have on that particular page, and I just can't give it up. What are the qualities that Caleb has that others did not? That's what we're going to examine today. It's interesting that God does not give Caleb the mountain because Caleb was righteous and a great man of God, although he was. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 6, it says, Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So all the people that were inheriting the land, it was not because they were such wonderful people. The mountain was given to Caleb so God could be glorified. That's a principle that's going to thread itself throughout the message this morning. Caleb was a man that could be trusted with that which belonged to God. The mountain belonged to God, and he was going to entrust it to Caleb. He could be trusted to give God the glory. Perhaps one of the reasons why we don't have the mountains that we'd like to have is because we can't be trusted with them. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. You know why there's not a whole lot of Baptist millionaires? Because we can't be trusted with $1 million. Because we'd use it in ways that we ought not use it. But think about how God has glorified himself throughout scriptures in human instrumentality. Think of Noah. You are here today. You and I are here today because of Noah's faithfulness. Abraham, Genesis 18, 19 says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So Abraham, God knew him and trusted him. Joseph in Genesis chapter 41, 38, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man whom the Spirit of God is?" Daniel in Daniel 2, 47, "The king answered Daniel and said, Of truth it is, your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Again, he's showing forth the glory of God. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, 39, "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." And then Jesus in John 17, 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." What a testimony. But all these men and many others, God used their life and their action to glorify God. And he trusted them for that reason. The key is that God is looking for men and women today who are willing to glorify God. Are you one of those? Now, it's easy to say, "Oh, yes, I am, yes, I am." But let me tell you something, one of the dangers in ministry, as you see the hand of God's blessing, is to start taking God's rightful honor and taking it for yourself. Oh, be careful with that. Be real careful with that. God's not looking for a person with talent, great physical appearance, or great intelligence, or great spirituality, or great wealth, or great academic prowess, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But that's not the person that God is going to use. The same quality that Caleb has is the quality God's looking for today. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Verses 8, 9, and 14 bear that out. So, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? Let's take a look at it. Number one, it means faith. And this is not the kind of faith that can pick and choose what it wants to place its faith upon. Faith is believing all God said. Now, guys, it's one thing to believe all God said when you're in a theology class, because you've got to learn it to put it on a test. It's something entirely different to hold the same truth when you're out there all by yourself in some remote place where you are truly alone and someone comes along and comes alongside that doesn't hold the same positions you do. To believe all that God says, Caleb believed God over political correctness. It was not politically correct to stand with Moses and with God at Kadesh Barnea. As a matter of fact, it could have cost him his life. But he does. And let me tell you, as pastors and as pastors' wives, missionaries and missionaries' wives, evangelists, there's going to come a day when you're going to be standing all alone. You'll stand against perhaps church members, leaders in the church. You'll stand against preacher friends. You'll stand against other missionaries. And you'll wonder, am I right? And that's when you've got to trust God and fully follow him. Then there's the obvious natural obstacles. Numbers 13, 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You see, Caleb believed God about the mountain. The mountain belonged to Caleb. After all, God gave it to him. In Joshua 14, 12, it says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." Let me say to you that every one of you has a mountain that God has in mind for you. But few will possess it. And we're going to look at why. You see, Caleb saw the mountain and the giants through the Lord rather than looking at the Lord through those giants. And we get stuck looking at those things. The problem is that we look at the mountain and see the giants. And we wonder, why has God given me a mountain full of giants? Most mountains have giants. We believe that we have to conquer the mountain and the giants on our own power. And here's what happens. We spend our day wringing our hands, losing sleep, getting sick, not being able to eat. Because how can I do this? I can't possibly do this. Why would God ask me to do this? We miss it. God's not asking you to do it. God wants to do it through you. He wants to use you as human instrumentality. And you'll miss the blessing if you don't see you. We all want to be where God is doing miracles. But we don't want to pay the price to be there. We all want to see the lions get lockjaw, but we don't want to be in the lion's den. We all want to see be in a fiery furnace and not get burned, but we don't want to go to the fiery furnace. We want miracles. We want to see God do great and mighty things. We just don't want to pay the price. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know that the key to that is through Christ. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? When I see a verse like Deuteronomy 31, and I look at it and say, wow. I hold it up and say, God, did you write that? He always says yes. I said, do you mean it? And he always says yes. My problem is I don't have the faith to believe it. There are three truths that I must believe, absolutely truth. Number one, God has given this mountain. It's mine. It's mine. Please know, I remember going to Dubuque, Iowa. We were going to plant a church. Dubuque's a beautiful little town. That's a little, about 60,000. Right on the Mississippi River, and you come off big hills, and there it is nestled in this valley. First time we went there, when we knew that's where we were going to be going, we're going down the hill looking at it, and I told my wife, I said, this is our town. God has given it to us. Somewhere, there's a ministry that God has given you. It's yours. And you need to understand that. Since he's given it to me, number two, he expects me to possess it. And since he expects me to possess it, he's given me the ability to possess it. In order to do so, I've got to evict the giants. Verse 12, for thou hearest it in the day how the Anakims were there. The cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I looked up the word eviction. Webster's Third International Dictionary says, to remove a person from a property by virtue of a paramount title or claim. Now, you've got these giants. Can you imagine Caleb? He's got this quitclaim deed. It's his mountain. He comes to one of those giants that's 9-10 foot tall and said, hey, big boy, I've got a document here that says you got to leave. And the giant looks at him and says, yeah, right. Not happening. You see, eviction often infers that there's going to be some forcible removing. The giants not about to leave without a fight. You see, the giants have confidence in their size and in their history. And by the way, they have 9/10 of the law. They have possession. So everything is against you. Everything's in their favor. I don't know about you, but giants are intimidating. Dayton's not a giant, but he's the closest thing I know to a giant on campus. I don't know about y'all. You know, I've told you before, I have a problem that I never made it to 6 foot. But if you ever walked with Dayton to the classroom, he kind of just strolls along. And I'm doing like a sewing machine, just to keep up. Giants are intimidating. And yet God says, you got to evict them. Because this is your land. So what we tend to do is we say, look, I'll tell you what, giant. This is my land, but I'm a nice guy. Why don't we just live together? I wasn't sure I was going to use this, but I am going to do it. When we came here, we left a church in Springfield, Colorado, with a great group of people. Springfield is in the middle of nowhere. You can travel 1 hour away from Springfield, and the Coloradians don't know where Springfield is. They say, where do you live? Springfield. Oh, Springfield, Missouri. No, Colorado. It's in the southeast corner of Colorado. When we did our shopping, we went to Texas to do our shopping. Texas or Kansas. A beautiful, beautiful church building. And I on Monday, one of the things I do is I go back to the churches that I pastored one time and kind of check on their services because they all live stream. And the pastor was giving announcements. And one of the things he was going to be involved in was a communal baptismal service. I go, huh? What's that mean? So he said, well, he said, there's 6 of us clergy that are going to go down into the lake, and people get to pick which clergy they want to baptize them. Now, understand, that meant a Catholic priest, Church of God, a Methodist, and so forth. Now that's what happens when you decide you're going to live on the mountain with the giants. And he said, but, he says, I get to tell people what baptism is about, since they've asked me to do that. So he justified what he was doing. And I wondered how the men that were deacons for me, how they felt about all this. And I don't have any idea, but all too often, good men, under difficult circumstances, will decide to live with the giants peaceably just so they get a chance to preach the gospel. My friend, God told you to evict the giants. Get rid of them. It's your mountain. Get rid of it. It can't be yours until you evict the giants. You see, these giants had confidence in their size, they had confidence in their history, and they had this little guy saying, I want you to get out. What they hadn't factored in is they'd never come up against a man who wholly followed the Lord. Action infers work. Caleb was not afraid of work. Many of us want mountains handed to us in silver platters. You preacher boys are waiting, when you graduate, you're waiting for a pulpit committee of a church of 500 to call you to be their pastor. Guess what? It ain't happening. So just know that. Right. In most cases, you're going to go to a church with 25, 30 people. But let me tell you, the key to that is that you only have one way to go. You have to be successful. You're going to go up. That's exciting. Church of 500, you've got a history to live down. But possessing a mountain requires work, requires sacrifice. There are going to be nights When you're taking that mountain, that you are going to be so tired, you can just barely wiggle yourself into bed. You're going to be hurting. Your bank account is going to be at zero, and you're going to wonder, what am I doing here? You're evicting giants. Many people are afraid of work. One particular man said, when asked, he said, I'm not afraid of work. As a matter of fact, he says, I can lay down right beside and go to sleep. A lot of people stop looking for work after they find a job. We just have that mentality. And by the way, the ministry is not exempt from that mentality. But this action infers a commitment. Giants that one has to evict in order to possess the mountain. And we can go down a whole list, but let me give you an illustration. For the alcoholic, it has to be the giant of sobriety. And let me just stop you for a moment and just say, get on my soapbox for just a moment. We don't say it, but the folks in the pews hear it. Well, bless God, if you have a giant, if you're an alcoholic, just hit the altar and pray and everything is going to be all right. It doesn't work that way. And they walk away from the altar disillusioned because it didn't work the way they thought it was going to. Evicting giants doesn't happen overnight and is not easy work. One suffers from emotional disorders like depression or anxiety. We've got to evict those giants. Earlier this week, we heard about the giant of morality. We've got to evict those giants. You cannot possess the mountain that God has given you without evicting those giants. Just mark it down. But that the mountain belongs to you, and He wants you to possess it. That's God's will. And you can't possess it until you evicted the giants. Let me ask you a question. You have a giant as your neighbor? Is he in your mountain? You say, well, I don't even know where my mountain is. Maybe your mountain, guys, is Greek. I'm not suggesting you evict Brother Hanky. But what I'm saying is, maybe the eviction is you've got to spend more time in the books than socializing. Especially if we're coming to finals. But somewhere, you know what giant, and God has put His finger on a giant in your life today. You know what it is. And by the way, this isn't true confessions. I'm not interested in what your giant is, but God is. And you've got to evict him. You've got to pay the price to evict him. You cannot be free until the giants have been evicted. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Guys, I take that literally. Satan wants to destroy you. He does not want you to finish the course here. He wants you to be one of the millions that bailed on God at Kadesh Barnea. You've got to evict the giant. I like that John 10:10 doesn't stop there. Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I take that literally as well. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, shall be free indeed. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So faith then is claiming all that God has given you. Your mountain, claim it. Put a stake in the ground and say, God gave me this mountain. Giants, get out. Last time I preached, we talked about the fear factor. And I remember the one guy that finally got a hold of the concept. He had a mountain. His mountain was that he had agoraphobia, which is obsessive fear about open spaces. I talked to him one time and asked him about it, and he said, well, he said, you think about this. He says, we live on this big ball, right? And I said, yeah. He says, we live on the outside of the ball, right? I said, yeah. He says, so my head is sticking out into space, right? I hadn't thought about it, but yeah. He says, the only thing holding me on this ball is my size 12s. And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you begin to hear them, no, you know, one of those kind of things. But he got a hold of a concept one day from 2 Timothy 1:7. And he says, I've got a mountain, I've got to evict this giant. And he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over you, you fear, and demand that you leave me. Psychiatric drugs didn't work. Psychiatric units in hospitals didn't work. But the Word of God did. And he was free. Claim the mountain. The mountain is yours by divine gift, just as it was Caleb's. And there's no greater authority. You're claiming your mountain. Now make sure, two things. One, make sure that you are wholly following the Lord. Two, make sure that it's the mountain that God has given you and not the mountain you want God to give you. There may be a difference. The mountain that God gives you will always be consistent with the Word of God. It may be, for example, that your mountain right now is an unsaved loved one. You need to claim it. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men call slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can claim the Word of God for that mountain. Don't get discouraged when the giants try to keep you from your claim. I think sometimes, it's not so much anymore today, but I remember as a kid growing up in the interior of Brazil, new missionaries would come at great personal sacrifice. And it's almost like they expected the Brazilians to have this big banner, welcome and thank you for coming. The truth is, it was just the opposite. What are you boys doing here? And there was an anti-American spirit. The giants are not putting out a big banner and say, welcome, come on in and take over. They're not doing that. They're saying, what are you doing here? It will take work and ultimately to claim your mountain. Do not compromise. Do not compromise with your giants. God has sent you for one purpose, claim the mountain and evict the giants. That's your mission, period. Anything less than that is compromise. You're going to have to evict those giants before the mountain can be yours. All over our country, guys, there are people who are beginning to wonder if Christianity works anymore. In a recent Barna study, discovered that 46% of Americans go to church at any time at all. 5 years ago, it was 57%. Why? Because they don't see reality. Because we're living with giants rather than evicting them. We need to evict the giants and claim the mountain. Say, this is the mountain God has given me. Moses, give it to me. And I can take it. Even if I'm 85 years old, I can take the mountain. Father,